Life coaching and discovery. Inspiration with an invitation to learn from a self-discovery guide. Mark is passionate about you making positive changes in your life so that it becomes a vibrant, ongoing journey of growth and discovery. Welcome to the Inspire Possibility Show. Now, here's your host, Mark Susnow.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Susnow, and you are listening to another edition of the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that hopefully inspires you and hopefully inspires me. And every week I invite people that I feel are going to add something to our lives, people that have been on this path, that have, most of whom are thought leaders, authors. And Penny Pierce was referred to me, and I've read about her, and she talks a lot about intuition. She's a respected and gifted intuitive empath with deep psychological understanding, visionary ability, and business sense. She's an author. She has a new book that's out called Leaper Perception. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've always been curious about intuition. You know, do we just have it? Is it something that you know, how do we get intuition? Are we born with it? And if we want more of it, how do we go about doing that? And so that was another reason why I invited Penny to be my guest. So, hello, Penny.
How are you, Mark? It's good to be here.
Penny, for your thoughts.
Many, that's not enough, actually.
Not enough. All right. How much do you want? How much do you need?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to just seeing where we go with this today.
Me too. And you know, I don't really know, but all I know is going to be good. And I think it's going to be great. And so tell me, what is intuition exactly?
Well, to me, it feels like, sometimes I call it direct knowing. It's really not just the left brain perception. It's in a certain way, it's the left and the right brain. It's kind of a holistic way of knowing things. But I think it's more related to the right brain, where you have a kind of a direct immersion into life. No language. It's just almost like an impression, a direct feeling state or experiential state. And as you know, from that level, you get pattern recognition, which then slowly translates over into the left brain, where it can be described and it can become conscious. And then we can actually know about it, you know. A lot of times intuition is so, it's almost like so normal. You know, it's like what we do all the time that we don't notice it.
Mm-hmm.
So, people, if they've joined us, to please mute your phone. But do people like sometimes get these feelings and they're not right? Sometimes people get feelings and they're because they're paranoid. So how does someone know if, you know what I mean? They have this sense that something's not going to be good and it turns out to be fine because they're paranoid. The way they view the world, and how do you distinguish that from intuition?
What I think is that we have a lot of what I call it truth and anxiety signals that really originate in the body. When you hear something that's really true for you or healthy for you or just right, often you have a sense of expansion or bubbling up or energy. Often people describe it as it goes up the spine and out the shoulders and down the arms, and then it chills when they hear the truth, you know, or things bubble and you get warm. Or the anxiety signal, when you hear a lie or when something's dangerous for you, you often contract and you can get cold or feel like a wet blanket's been thrown over you, or you're the pit of your stomach, you get a knot in your solar plexus, you get cold hands and feet, you know, like the feet of clay, where the energy actually is withdrawing to the center of the body to protect yourself. So when you can learn to just sense those almost visceral signals, you know, you can learn to kind of read when something's going to be okay for you or not okay. But then to answer your part of the question is that a lot of times we do have these innate unconscious fears. And they're maybe not even about the present reality. It might have been a big dog barked in your face when you were 2 years old and now sudden things scare you, you know. And so it's a matter of testing, I think, of saying, is this really real? Is this hearkening back to something in the past? Or is it right now in the moment, just fresh and clean, you know? And you only know that by going with it. You know, you can trust it, try it out. If it works, great, validate it. If it doesn't, then notice why it didn't. You know, it's a process of learning.
So you're saying that developing your intuition is a process, is an intellectual process of learning? Am I hearing that
right? I don't think of it as intellectual. I think of it still as a sense of subtle gauging of feeling states, whether something's righteous or just right. You know, there's a difference between that. There are fine line differences between things that, you know, you can sense when there's a need to control something or a need to avoid something, or just you don't have a charge on it. And so usually that uncharged state is accurate. You know? And I think that's just experience. You learn that.
So did you know that, I mean, like you've written, I don't know how many books, but you've written about 8 books on intuition? 9 books.
Well, on all kinds of things, dreams, transformation, personal transformation.
And was there a point in your life when you realized, because I've talked to a lot of people and some people, I knew as a child that I saw certain things that most people don't see. Did you have a similar experience or feeling when you were a child?
No. I had, my story is just kind of like the ordinary girl next door. I grew up in the Midwest running around riding horses and just doing stuff, you know, and nothing unusual. Maybe in high school, I started really thinking about the mysteries and reading a lot of books and wondering about what psychic stuff was. And I remember when I was about 13, I woke up in the middle of the night and went over to my desk and wrote down a diagram about the time-space continuum and why psychic abilities happen. And then I saw it the next morning and I thought, what is this?
You know? Right, exactly.
But then stuff started coming to me just naturally over time, a little gradual opening, and I think that's the way most people can do it. You know, it wasn't a big dramatic thing, and it was a matter of refining things, noticing things, writing about it, working with a journal, meditating, you know, and keeping track of my process a lot. I was very diligent about that in the early years of opening.
And this was, you're saying journaling, and this is in high school you started doing that, or?
And later
right?
in my 20s, all through. Yeah, so I started fairly early, but nothing dramatic. And I was almost kind of surprised that when I did visualizations and imagined a symbol connected with a person, that it was actually accurate. You know, I thought I just made it up. And then I realized that, you know, your imagination really is your best friend. It does relay to you data that comes to you in the sensory form.
Well, if you use it in a right way, I always think about, you know, I think about worry is really our imagination too, but it's you know, it's imagining the worst case scenario, and I'm with you. I like to use our imagination to kind of visualize the kind of experience we want for ourselves. And do you use it in that same way?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, they say worry is praying for what you don't want. You know, and I think that's so
true. I like
true.
That. Yeah, I never heard that exactly. I like that.
You know, and I think that what, you know, when we start, I started writing about energy and frequency is one of my books, you know, that when we start accelerating and our energy is getting higher and higher, we're starting to pay attention these days to the fact that everything vibrates, everything's made of energy and has different frequencies, mm-hmm. and that you can mm-hmm. use your attention to change your frequency. You know, you can either mm-hmm. match somebody that's in a bad mood and then you'll feel bad, or you can stay in a good mood and maybe they'll match you. You know, and so a lot of what you think about and the emotions that you run in your own life affect the quality of the field of energy around you and in you, you know, and it sets a tone. And then the only thing that can materialize out of that field of energy are things that are of that same vibration. You know, so thinking positively, it's not just an old-fashioned idea. And it's not just a willpower thing either. It's really choosing to feel the way you really want to feel and not giving the outside world power over you, you know, to knock you off center or to make you feel mm-hmm. bad if you don't want to.
But how does one go about that? I mean, those are like great theories, and a lot of people say that, you know, have a positive visualization, imagine what you want, and you create a vibration and things come to you. But how do you do that? I mean, it's conceptually, it's I can understand that, and I have my ways of doing it. But for a lot of people, they say, well, yeah, I am, you know, I write affirmations, I imagine this good thing happening, and it doesn't happen. What do you say to people
that's because you can do that with your left brain and sort of inflict it on yourself, you know, as a should. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. if you're not vibrating at that level at your core, then it's not going to happen. So I always start with what I call the home frequency. And that's all in my book, Frequency, about how to do this. But basically, there's a way that we feel when we like ourselves, when you feel like your soul is in your body and in your personality mm-hmm. running the show. It's like the light in a baby's eyes, you know, or a child that's full of herself just playing and having
right.
a great time. And when you're proud of yourself or something, and we all have different ways of getting into it and recognizing it. For me, it's maybe cheerfulness. You know, sometimes if I'm in a bad mood and I can get myself to be cheerful a little, then I can slide into this better state.
Right.
But so if you practice discriminating between a negative state when you're feeling off and you don't like the way it feels, and then this other state, your home frequency or your preferred state, and mm-hmm. realize you have a choice. So you can practice going back to that expanded way of being and enjoy it for your own sake. Just choose it over and over. And every time you get off of it, choose it again until your body starts preferring it and thinking of it as normal. At that mm-hmm. point, you're kind of like saturating then with this higher, let's call it a higher tone or your original tone or something. And then your body starts to adjust to that vibration. Your emotions adjust. Your thoughts adjust, and then the field of energy around you becomes that same thing. So that takes a little bit of practice, but then out of that field of kind of harmonious energy will come new kinds of ideas for things you might want to do, things you might want to create. And then when you get those ideas and put attention on them and be with them and love them and enjoy them, and project yourself into the little movie of that possible reality and let your body feel it. Now, then it starts materializing out of the field around you. It emerges, actually. You don't even attract it. It just comes out of the field and shows up, and suddenly your reality is different.
So what I'm hearing you say is to kind of have this image, this visualization of what you want, but to really feel it in your whole being.
Be in that state of relaxed, you know, sort of excited peacefulness or whatever mm-hmm. it is, you know,
mm-hmm.
Before
right.
you even try to visualize it.
Mm-hmm.
You get the ground of being at a state where everything seems, of course I could have what I need. Why not? You know, I can mm-hmm. create anything, you know, and then create.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you're not prepared energetically for the materialization of what you want, you know, it can't get through. It's almost like you're blocking
it. So do you have like a regular practice that you do to help? Some people, like I meditate every morning. Do you have mm-hmm. like a practice that you do or that you recommend?
I do a, something that is kind of like a mindfulness practice. I don't really meditate formally anymore. I watch everything all day long. It's kind of like Buddhists call it a process of inquiry. I work with what I call the inner perceiver, like a function of your own mind that helps you notice what you notice. And I trust it, like it's my higher self or Holy Spirit or, you know, whatever it is. But I think that it helps me notice the things I need to notice so that I'll learn something or I'm trying to get through to myself. So I talk to it. And I say, oh, well, why did that just happen? Or what am I trying to say to myself with that weird image I just saw? So I kind of process a lot during the day with how my reality is appearing to me and why it's appearing as it does. And then I take a lot of time to be quiet, you know, to not be on the computer or to just be in nature or not have the TV on or something, you know, because I think in order to get into your right brain and intuition, you have to stop the internal dialogue.
How do you
do that? It's about quiet.
What's your approach to turning off that internal dialogue? I mean, I know that it drives people nuts. I mean, I kind of refer to it.
As,
I call it your voice of judgment, your VOJ. And how do you turn it off? How do you? People would love to be able to turn it off.
Well, I do it personally with my imagination, where I imagine that I'm in a kind of a deep blue black velvety space that's very supportive of me, and it absorbs sound, and it's and I kind of float in it. It's like really a I don't know, it's just a very nurturing kind of experience. And that darker color helps me get quiet. So I just, every time the voice starts, I just suspend it and I just float into that. And it's a tactile thing. If I can get into the tactile feeling and drop more into my body, I get quieter. And I just do it until I just am quiet, you know, and it's, I guess it's a matter of just, again, practice until you learn the pathway into it.
So you say practice, and practice noticing?
Yes.
And the thing that, that I get concerned about sometimes, if we're noticing all day long our inner experience, because I do this a lot, and sometimes you can kind of overdo it to where all you're, because you're overanalyzing. And how do you draw that line between overanalyzing, overjudging everything that occurs, to just being, to where you're, you turn off the mind? I find sometimes when I, you know, when I analyze too much, my mind stays active. How do you make that?
Well, that's where the silence comes in. And also, I often use just the practice of seeing beauty, noticing the beauty in things, or noticing, like feeling into something and becoming one with it, and then feeling the communion with even an object, you know, that there's particles of light in there. There's consciousness inside that's shaping itself that way. And I go in and find it like a friend, like there's more of the self in there, that more consciousness. And I sit with that often, and it takes me more into a feeling state, an appreciative state, where I can just be with it and enjoy it. And that's restful, you know.
So let me interject here. I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to the Inspire Possibility show, and my guest today is Penny Pierce, a clairvoyant author, wisdom teacher. And tell us how people can get a hold of you and how they can get your books, and tell us a little bit about your latest book. So how do people get a hold of you?
My website is just my name, pennypierce.com, and it's spelled P-E-N-N-E-Y, and then the last name is P-E-I-R-C-E. There's all kinds of information on my website, and all the books are described, and free stuff, and lots of things there. And really, I think the latest books are, I wrote this, I'm calling it the Transformation Trilogy, because I got very fascinated with how personal transformation is occurring. So the first one in the series is called The Intuitive Way, which is really a course on intuition development. And the next one is Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration, where we're going more into this whole energy thing. And then the last one is called Leap of Perception, The Transforming Power of Your Attention, where we're really, I'm really talking about how transformation is a function of our perception, and we're changing from linear perception, you know, where we have past, present, future all in a line, mm-hmm. and we have plot lines mm-hmm. and storylines, mm-hmm. and everything's in mm-hmm. lines, you know, into spherical and holographic perception. And what is that? You know, how does it feel? What, how's it going to happen? And what will it be like afterwards? And there are new attention skills that we're going to be learning. And so it's, my books are fairly dense, but they have really a lot of information mm-hmm. And exercises, things to experience what I'm talking about in there. So, yeah, The Leap of Perception has just come out in paperback after several years. So it's going to be more,
and how
more
do people,
available.
How do people, how do they get Leap of Perception?
Oh,
they
gosh, Amazon
local bookstore
or any,
Amazon.
Anything. Bookstore, yeah. It's mm-hmm. pretty much all over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So would you say that Leap of Perception is more or less your current thinking now? So it's kind of where you've, would you say your books are, you know, as you write them, it's because you're evolving as a person, or?
Yes, and the
or
times
what?
Are
I mean,
evolving.
That's what I think sometimes. Hmm?
Yeah, I think that some of the books I couldn't have written until the world got to a certain vibrational level, if you will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I wouldn't have recognized the ideas even before that. And it's
right.
kind of like people in the world start to get it about the same time that I do. Maybe I'm a little ahead of the curve. But I think that we're starting to understand that not just that we can change our energy, but that actually we're changing, sometimes I call this the inner geometry of our perception. You know, we're unconsciously perceiving it according to a geometry. Like with linear, it really is a line. You know, cause
uh-huh.
and effect thinking and so
right.
forth. And as we move into spherical perception, it's like there is no line anymore. You're in the center of a big ball of reality. And that
uh-huh.
ball contains every possible vibration, every frequency, every potential reality, all, you know, it's
right.
the imaginal realm. It's the present moment. And that
so
big
you,
ball
yeah.
contains the future and the past now.
So you're
you know,
saying that so, you're saying you're getting away from the cause and effect kind of thinking.
Yes, yes.
And but don't you? What about karma? Does karma isn't karma kind of cause and effect? I mean, do you
mm-hmm.
do you think there's a karma that we have that is in
yes,
there somewhere?
Yes, I do. I think that we have different levels of love and fear in us as we come into mm-hmm. these lives. You know, and part of our life purpose is to get rid of the fear and to balance ourselves out in any of the polarities we might have, like masculine, feminine, or loving or fearful, or any of them, you know, that we're trying to create flow and not be stuck anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with the spherical reality, everything's there for you, all the past lives, all the potential realities. And you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to use willpower to do anything. Just place attention on whatever's coming up for you. And if that's some kind of a lesson about, you know, some kind of chaos, and you think it's bad, mm-hmm. well, just pay attention to it and go into it and merge with it, and you'll find out why it's there, what the gift in it is. You know, and you can, as soon as you can understand it, it dissolves. Then the energy goes back into the field to be used again for new creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's not like a line where we're going past life to next life to next life. All the lives are together in one place. And they come alive when you place attention on them. Your past comes alive if you place attention on the idea of a memory. Your future comes alive if you create a new reality that's at a different frequency than the one you're in now. You know, and as soon as you match that higher frequency of the new reality, you have it. It you know, it's not a matter of this, you know, step-by-step mechanical process to get from A
mm-hmm.
to Z anymore. It's so instantaneous now because the frequency on the planet is so fast. You know, and part of it you can tell because we can't process the information age stuff any faster than we're doing it. It's linear, right? Bit by bit, bite
right.
by bite. And, you know,
exactly.
we're overwhelmed with information now. And the only way we're going to be able to process it is to shift to the right brain and the body and the heart and the field. where you have direct knowing all at once of great patterns of knowledge, and then whatever you need to use in that moment will come into the left brain and make itself known. And then when you're done with it, it's like putting a jar back on the shelf. You don't need to hold it all and memorize it all because you have it all the time.
Right.
All knowledge is
Penny,
there.
I like to ask my guests a few questions, and one of them is what right now is your inner challenge, would you say? It's your biggest inner challenge. What are you working on in your own evolution?
I think it is the subtle lessons about really truly being merged with the flow. You know, because we oscillate, you know, and we're in the left brain, of course, a lot during the day. We have tasks in our to-do list, you know, but how do I merge into my tasks so that I get out of ticking them off the list and being linear? How do I merge into life more? And, you know, if that's the goal, then your inner teacher gives you insights about it. Like one morning I was in bed thinking I should get up now, and a voice in my head said, don't think about that right now. And I would come up with, oh, I should go do that. Don't think about that right now. And then in a minute, somehow my body just got up on its own and got out of bed without me telling it that I should. And it was an interesting lesson, you know, one of those subtle things that said, oh, you don't have to direct it all with your left brain. You know, so those things.
Right. What inspires you right now?
Oh, gosh, everything practically.
Wow. Hey, people, you're easy to please, huh?
I am. Well, you know, I love the way people are growing themselves, or even if they're really caught in fear, there are places where they're really trying to open up. And I love nature and animals and plants and gardens and, you know, just that really puts me back in harmony. And art and beauty and the magic of writing, you know, and how things fall together magically. I mean, it's all fairly entertaining.
Right. So it sounds like you really are, as you say, you're in the flow. I get a sense that you feel graced by life.
I do. And, you know, that doesn't exclude getting pissed off and, you know, getting out of sorts. You know, that's part of the flow, too. You just have to, you know, realize that, okay, just go into it. It's the next thing.
Right. So when you get pissed off sometimes, do you kind of, I do sometimes, I mean, I'm doing the similar work that you do. I've been meditating for years, and all of a sudden I'll get pissed off at somebody, and I laugh. I go, oh my God, I can't believe this. You know, it was just so long, and there you are, right? Have you ever had that experience?
Yes, I have. And then if you just get quiet a minute and go into the experience a little more, you can see what it was. It's almost always that somehow I gave the outside world, I think there's an outside world, and I gave it a lot of power over me to dictate how I was supposed to feel. And I realized that I had done that again. I had, you know, gone back into this old default setting of not feeling myself. And then it's just a matter of getting centered again, and it goes away.
Right. Well, we're coming to the end. We're coming to the end of our conversation, and
that went fast.
It went fast because we talk fast. Or I noticed I started talking faster. So I was listening to you. I started talking faster. So this was great. I'm glad that we're able to do this, and you have a lot of wisdom to share. I wanted to remind our listeners that you can get Penny's books on Amazon. She's got a lot of them. You can go to her website, and it's pennypierce.com, and it's spelled P-E-I-R-C-E. I know I misspelled that initially myself, so it's P-E-I-R-C-E. And, check in with her, and this show will be actually replayed on BBS Radio Sunday night at 6 p.m., so if you want to listen then or tell people about it, and I will, you know, send Penny the information. So thanks again, Penny, for being my guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. I want to remind our listeners that every week we have guests that are amazing like Penny. And if you want to find out more about the work that I do, please feel free to visit my website at inspirepossibility.com to find out the trainings that I do and what I do in coaching. And also you can sign up for my newsletter or read my blog. So until next week, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. 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 Do you ever feel there is more to life than what you are currently experiencing? Are you basically stuck in a dead-end career job or perhaps reeling from a toxic relationship? Everyone faces deep challenges in their life. That's why everyone needs a life discovery guide. Meet Mark Susnow of InspirePossibility.com and get inspired. Let Mark journey with you and show you how to navigate life's challenges as a mentor, as a guide, as a friend with immense energy to dynamically change your world. Schedule your complimentary coaching session with Mark Susnow now by visiting inspirepossibility.com and clicking contact. You have nothing to lose and only inspiration to gain. Visit inspirepossibilities.com.